The following podcast contains explicit language.
Hi, this is Dana Stevens, Slate's movie critic, and I'm here with a Slate spoiler special podcast on Zach and Miri Make a Porno, the new Kevin Smith movie. I'm here in the studio with Tanner Colby.
Hey, Dana.
Tanner, how do I identify you? Comedy writer extraordinaire, author of The Chris Farley Show.
Author of The Chris Farley Show and comedy writer.
Ordinaire?
Ordinaire, yes. Ordinaire.
Mediocre.
Mediocre.
So we saw Zach and Miri, unfortunately, together the other day.
Unfortunately, I'm still trying to recover. Yes.
And as you were just pointing out, this is one of the most charmless movies you've seen in some time.
It is. I've seen more charm and heart in real pornography in many cases. Just to give the basic plot, two high school buddies, Zach and Miri, are down on their luck. They're, you know, can't pay the rent, can't pay the bills. And so they decide to make a porno movie to get their money back and get their lives back on track. Only they're best friends who've never slept together. And then they've got to sleep together in the porno. And that's going to test the bounds of their relationship, which could have been, I guess, an intelligent conceit to explore the dynamics of platonic sex and so forth, but it just comes off as wrong. And Kevin Smith is possibly the least nuanced filmmaker ever. And I just feel like when he sticks to just guys hanging around the convenience store, cracking jokes and snappy dialogue, he does okay. But when he ventures into three-dimensional human beings, it never really comes off.
Well, what do you think he's trying to do in this movie that's an atypical move for Kevin Smith?
He's trying to – Judd Apatow really took the helm from him in terms of gross-out humor that's, you know, has heart and reality to it. And I think this movie is an attempt by Kevin Smith to sort of join Judd Apatow on his level, and it just falls flat.
Well, it feels really Apatowian in a lot of ways. Obviously, Seth Rogen playing the kind of schlubby stoner
antihero. Yeah, and it's got the same East Indian store owner. It's got Craig Robinson, who plays the doorman in Knocked Up, plays the producer of the movie here.
And he was in Pineapple Express as well.
And was in Pineapple Express. Elizabeth Banks, who plays Miri, was also in 40-Year-Old Virgin. The cast was lifted almost straight out of an Apatow movie.
Well, and it seems like the tone that he's trying to strike, and we need to talk about how and why he fails to strike it, but the tone he's trying to strike is a little bit more that sweet, a gross-out movie with heart, kind of.
Right, only instead of the gross-out and the heart weaving, you know, effortlessly in together, it's like, you know, shifting gears in a car. It's like, okay, now we're in the hardcore gross-out gear, and now we'll shift to the soft and sweet and sensitive gear with the Pixies song on the soundtrack, and then we're back to, you know, defecation jokes. And it's just jolting. It's like going back and forth between watching hardcore pornography and softcore pornography, back and forth like every 2 minutes, and you're like, well, Can I please watch one or the other?
Well, can we spoil some things on either side? Let's spoil some of the hardcore gross-out stuff, because I'm sure the listeners will all be curious on the edge of their seats about that. And also spoil some of the, to me, far more painful, sickly sweet moments in the movie.
Well, the first big spoiler, and I guess one of the few good things, is Brandon Routh from Superman shows up. He's an unannounced cameo, so that's one thing we can throw out there. And he actually does okay. But then it just sort of degenerates. He plays a gay man who comes back to the high school reunion, and Elizabeth Banks had always wanted to sleep with him, but turns out he's gay and he's got a boyfriend who's in gay porn. And the two gay men at the high school reunion just degenerate into kind of like the worst, creepiest, most offensive gay stereotypes I've seen in a long time. It just came off as flat and really kind of – it was written by someone and acted by two people who don't know any gay people. That's what it felt like. It was caricature.
Well, for all of his obsession with sex, it seems that Kevin Smith seems like he has a kind of puritanical bent or something. I mean, this movie doesn't at all fit in with, you know, this sort of subgenre that I actually quite like of the making porn is a liberating experience movie. Boogie
right.
Nights being, I think, sort of one of the masterpieces of that genre. There's also a little Spanish movie called Torremolinos 73, which you haven't seen, right? It's a few years old. It's very sweet. It's actually a little bit more like Zach and Miri, because it's the story of a couple, in the case of this movie, a married couple who decide to make their fortune in porn. And it ends up being sort of like a liberating experience for the woman, and she starts to feel very sexy, and she starts to become this awesome porn star.
Right. Well, to me, it's the difference between, like, we're both adults. I'm in my 30s. And when I hear adults being raunchy, they're raunchy in kind of a nuanced way. Like when 30-year-old people sit around making jokes about anal sex, it's more about sort of the dynamics of that act. Whereas when 13-year-olds sit around and do it, it's like a poo-poo joke. And Kevin Smith seems stuck in the latter category. There's no nuance to the raunch.
Well, because I can't bring myself to do it, will you spoil the one poo-poo
joke?
Well,
the grossest
the nadir,
moment in the
I
movie,
think.
Katie Morgan, who's an actual porn star who takes on the...
I didn't know that.
Yes, I did. Don't ask me how. So she's the actress in the movie within a movie, and it's her big scene, and she's got to have anal sex with one of the actors, but... Uh-oh, she's been constipated for 2 days, so what's going to happen? And the cinematographer, cameraman, is beneath the two porn actors getting a very interesting and intimate angle on the activity, and she shits all over his face.
And it so comes out of the blue. I mean, as raunchy as this movie is verbally, it doesn't really have that much. There's no full frontal nudity. You don't see any lower halves of anybody.
Well, you do. You see some balls.
Oh, yeah. I guess you do. Actually, they look so fake.
You do see some big saggy balls.
I guess
you
do see one set of dangling, sad little nutsack dangling there. But there's no – you don't see any full frontal nudity of either sex, right?
No. And
so suddenly to have this woman taking a dump on this cameraman's face is just absolutely disgusting and out of nowhere. And I couldn't concentrate on anything for the next 8 minutes of the movie because I was just thinking, did that really just happen?
Right. And to me – and again, it's the difference to Apatow, not to put him on too much of a pedestal or anything, but in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, when you had the full-on male, full-frontal nudity, you know, Jason Segel happened to be, you know, drop his bath towel, right, as his girlfriend tells him that she's dumping him. And so it's this moment where he's physically naked and emotionally naked and defenseless as well. And that amps up the humor. There's a point to it and really emotion and thought behind it. It's not just a guy naked because it's funny to see a guy naked. Where in this movie, it's just a guy bends over and you see his balls.
Yeah, there's really no compare. I mean, Jason Segel in Forgetting Sarah Marshall is everything this movie isn't. You know, I don't think that's a perfect movie by any means, but I love the vulnerability of his, not only his nude scene, but his whole performance in that movie is just great.
Right.
Well, okay, let's talk about, now let's get to the even more painful emotional nudity of the movie.
Yeah.
The central emotional scene, I guess, would be when Zach and Mary finally do have sex on camera, right?
Right.
And we've sort of seen them maybe nervously starting to fall for each other a little bit. They're nervous about their upcoming sex scene, but both of them want to do it. They're also getting kind of jealous that the other is appearing with
that.
Other.
We've seen Kevin Smith write dialogue that is meant to indicate that.
Right.
You know,
I'm giving him a lot more credit.
We haven't seen two nuanced actors where we forget that they're acting and suspend disbelief and they're invested in their characters and feel the tension of their platonic romance.
Right. We've more seen Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks.
We've heard dialogue delivered to us, which indicates that these two people are headed towards some sort of emotional conflict. And that is the problem with Kevin Smith movies.
And see, to my eyes, I mean, this was the biggest lost opportunity in the movie because it actually is kind of a great concept that good sex makes for bad porn, right? Which is kind of what happens in their scene. They actually make love, as
right.
Seth Rogen embarrassingly says, as if his character would ever use that antiquated term. Anyway, instead of having sex, they end up making love and, you know, actually enjoying it, and as a result, it's a really boring sex scene.
Right, and this is the one thing that I thought that was done well in the movie and could have been done even better is that when you see the two of them making love, it's a completely different soundtrack, and then when you cut back to the crew that's surrounding them and shooting them, it's no music. So it's like in the moment versus outside of the moment, and that was the one, I think, directorial triumph in the whole
Yeah, that was
minutes.
One of the few moments in the movie where Kevin Smith made a directorial choice that made some sense and had the effect it was intended to have. I think most of the time you hear the clomping feet of his script coming, you know, way before the line is actually said.
And I think it's the biggest, symptom of the indie film movement is that people who can't make movies get these ideas in their heads like, ooh, this Pixies song with this tracking shot would make a really cool moment. And you think those things, but, you know, you don't actually get the chance to make movies, so you don't ever end up inflicting them on people. But Kevin Smith actually gets to make those movies because he's like the one guy who his $8,000 black and white movie got picked up, and so he gets to inflict it on the rest of the world. And there's like, you know, the big, long after all these stilted gross-out scenes, there's this slow tracking shot down the hallway and the Pixies are playing, and it just feels sutured on, I think was what you said. It's like, oh, let's take this emotional moment and graft it onto the plot.
Yeah, and you can
point.
See the seams the whole time. They're painfully visible. Well, let's because we're being such incredible grumps about this movie, let's talk about the one thing we did like about it, which was Craig Robinson's performance.
Craig Robinson, who plays, he was the bouncer in Knocked Up, and he was a hitman in Pineapple Express, and he's also one of the cast characters on NBC's Office, is hilarious. And he could read the phone book, and it would be funny. He's just got that kind of delivery. And I think he took what was written kind of as a one-dimensional part of this henpecked husband and really invested it with humor. And you can tell that because he's got this relationship with his wife, and she remains trapped in the two-dimensional Kevin Smith dialogue world, and he sort of transcends it and makes it a real character and ad-libs and throws in some dialogue that you get a sense probably wasn't in the screenplay. And he's just funny. He can do anything, and it's funny. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, he was the only one who got real laughs in the screening that we were in, which was pretty dead silent most of the time. And just really briefly, do you want to say anything about the two main performers, Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks? I thought she was really miscast. I don't think you did.
Well, on Robinson, just one more thing. The end of the movie, as long as we're spoiling, is that Zach and Miri break apart and don't see each other for a few months because of the tension of making this porno together. And then Craig Robinson goes and shows Seth Rogen the footage of him making love to Elizabeth Banks, and so therefore makes him remember how much he loves her and to go get her back, which is sort of like a real moment. And Craig Robinson, I think, makes you feel like he's a real character with real motivations, and yet he feels totally out of place in the rest of the movie. It's very strange. But I feel like Seth Rogen is hysterical, but he's still young enough maybe that a good director is needed to get a really great performance out of him. And Kevin Smith wasn't that. And I feel like sometimes Seth Rogen was just going for the laugh instead of going for the reality of the character. And I think, I mean, he's hysterical and he's great, but I think a good director is someone who uses him well, whereas I don't think Kevin Smith did. But no, I would agree that Elizabeth Banks was a little miscast. I think she's funny, but I think we decided that Zooey Deschanel or someone else might have.
Maybe it's because I just saw her as Laura Bush. Did you see W?
No, I didn't see it, but I saw enough of the trailers that it's like, yeah, she's
She just seemed like a grown-up lady to me. She never seemed like a slacker girl, like a girl who would be roomies with Seth Rogen and live in squalor.
Yeah, she never seemed like someone who would be in that situation or would even consent to make a porno to begin with.
Right. All right, so do you have any final warning, any final words?
Don't go see it would be my and I say that as someone who was genuinely excited to see this movie. I'm a big fan of Seth Rogen, a big fan of Craig Robinson. I've never been a huge fan of Kevin Smith, but it seemed like this wasn't going back to his Clerks and Mallrats comfort zone where he does okay. And I was actually excited to see the movie. I thought it would be funny, and it just doesn't happen. Doesn't come off.
All right. Well, thanks for coming to the movie with me. Sorry
thank
I had to
Dana.
Inflict it on you, but we'll see a good one next time.
You
I
win
promise.
Some, you lose some.
And thank you for joining me on this Slate spoiler special. For Slate.com, I'm Dana Stevens.